I greet all of you in the wonderful name of Jesus. We have been sitting in heavenly places tonight, feeling God's wonderful presence in our hearts. I love to sit at the feet of Jesus, don't you? Feel His love, feel His power, and feel His grace. And if there be any of you tonight that do not know Him in His love and power and grace, you're missing something. I'll tell you something. What we are doing tonight is making rain. We're rainmakers. God has ordained that we could produce rain many years ago, long before man was tried to produce rain upon their fields. God made it so spiritually we could produce rain. How many of you know it takes wind to bring rain? As it sweeps upon the vast reaches of the ocean, and as it picks up that water and carries it into the sky, and it carries it into land until it falls in the form of snow and rain to bless the earth. And as God's Holy Spirit moves upon us, and as we begin to worship and praise and to adore Him, and as praise begins to ascend in the anointing and unction of the Holy Spirit, then God returns His blessing upon us in healing, in power, in deliverance, in salvation, in so many wonderful ways as we praise and worship Him. Wind can be a blessing. Wind can also be very destructive. We know there is the wind of God's Holy Spirit that He's pouring out upon the earth today. And yet we read in the book of Job where Satan caused a strong wind to come out of the east and caused a house to collapse upon the sons of Job, and they lost their lives because of that wind. But on the other hand, we read about David with his men sitting close to a mulberry tree, praying and worshiping and seeking God's will and God's timing. And when the wind began to go through the mulberry trees, David says, "Men, it's time to go. God's moving." Hallelujah. And they moved out against the enemy. And the enemy was not expecting the attack from that direction because it was of God. God was directing them. They were being led by His Holy Spirit. And as a result, they won the battle over Satan. It's important that we be led by God's Holy Spirit. And it's very important that our victories be won because of praise and worship and trust and confidence in Him. We do read a scripture that just came to me today. I've read it many times. I've never preached on it. I haven't prepared a sermon on it, and I'm really not sure what I'm going to say tonight yet. But we'll let the Lord direct. But in Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16, we read, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Awake, O north wind, blow and come thou south, blow upon my garden." How many of you know that it takes the winds of trials and testings and adversities, as well as those nice, warm winds that of blessing that come flowing in to produce fruit, to bring the fruit to maturity, and to bring the very best out of your life and mine. It takes not only the south wind, which we enjoy so much, the cool breezes that come into the garden, but it also takes the north wind of trial and testing, the vicissitudes of life, to bring forth the spices and to bring forth the blessings of God from you and me to bless the lives of others. Trials, testing, adversity, problems, difficulties, all of these things come to the children of God. And yet we know that for those who trust Him, God will always gain the victory. We're living in a world that's filled with a lot of problems right now. And I feel with all of my heart that what God is doing in His people is only preparatory to what God's going to do in the near future, because the world is losing everything in which they have placed their confidence and trust. They can't trust Kissinger anymore. They can't trust Ford. Many don't know if they can trust Carter. They don't know whether Reagan is the man. They don't know what to believe. And many things about their congressmen that they're reading and hearing today in the paper is causing people to lose confidence in our government, in their elected officials, until men do not know what to trust in or what to believe, which way to turn or which way to go. But I'm glad we know. We have a refuge in a time of storm. We have a Savior. We have a rock. We have a Redeemer who in whom we can trust and believe. And we know where we are going. We know in whom we have believed. We rejoice in God our Savior tonight. And we stand with confidence that no matter what is coming upon this world and upon the United States in particular, we have a God who is going to see us through. And though the cold winds of north winds blow upon us, God is going to bring forth spices out of His garden. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Oh, I'll tell you, it's exciting to live in these days. There are a lot of people in these days that are living on the sad side of life. They have nothing but a sorrowful and sad confession to make. But I believe it is a joyful heart and a joyful confession that brings the glory and the power of God down in the lives of His people. We are what we confess. We confess weakness, we are weak. We confess defeat, we are defeated. We confess we can't do it and we won't do it. But if we confess that through Jesus Christ I can do all things, hallelujah, we can do all things because He can do all things. Because He said it, He will perform it according to God's holy word. We read a scripture, in fact, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. God's word is sure. Did you know that? How many of you know that the word confession means that the meaning of it is to say the same thing? In other words, it means to say what God says. And this is what we have to stand upon. If God says it, we can believe it. No matter how impossible it may seem, if God declares something to you and to me, you and I can stand upon His word because it cannot fail. God cannot fail. God has spoken it. It'll come to pass. That song was sung tonight and it blessed my heart. In Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 25, we also read, Ezekiel 12, verse 25, For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Do you believe it? You see, we have something that the world doesn't have. We have God's word to stand upon. We have something that in the face of tottering institutions in the world in which we live, in view of the fact that America is tobogganing towards hell today, we have the sure word of God, the sure word of prophecy upon which we can stand, and it is a yea and amen to them that believe. It cannot fail. It will carry us through. And I want you to know that when we can confess nothing else, we can confess God's word. And God will hasten to perform it. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 13, we read in the latter part of verse 5, God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. How can we say so boldly that the Lord is my helper? I shall not fear what man shall do to me. Because we have the sure word of prophecy. Because we have God's declared word. God declares that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we can boldly say, The Lord is my helper. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God will win His victories. God will open His doors and God will shut His doors. And we will rest in the Lord and trust in Him because the battle is the Lord. Hallelujah. And God's going to try us time and time again, but the word of God will never fail. And God will hasten to perform it. And God will stand behind it. And God will do what He has declared He will do. God has been blessing in your assembly. God has given you a pastor that has done a tremendous job. And God is blessing you, and I thank God for that. I praise God for this great, wonderful work in Seattle and that is spreading out throughout America because there's a message to be preached. Did you know that? There's a message to be preached, and the world is hungering for truth and for reality and for that which only Jesus Christ can give. We have a sure word, a prophecy, and we can stand upon His word. But what are we confessing tonight? Did you know there are many people that are confessing defeat? There are many people that are saying, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the future. I'm afraid of what's going to happen to America. I'm afraid what's going to happen after this coming election. I'm afraid of what's going to happen to my family. I'm afraid that, of this, and I'm afraid of that. I'm fearful. I'm filled with doubt and worry and anxiety and trouble. But the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The Bible tells us we are to confess what God confesses, and that's all. We are to confess what He said. And the Scripture tells us in the book of Psalms that the children of Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited Him. And did you know that many times we limit God within the confines of our little faith? In other words, many of us build boxes around God. Some have bigger boxes and some have smaller, but we say this is what God can do, but I don't know if I can believe for that. I can believe that God can heal a toothache, but I'm not sure He can heal cancer. You see, we do that sometimes. We say we believe that God can do this, but we aren't sure. That's a very difficult situation. Can God do that? I want you to know that God can do anything. He can do it if we will just believe it and confess it. Because according to our confession will be our victory or our defeat. So the Scripture tells us to confess victory and to confess the promises of God, to stand upon them. We don't always have even exact promises. We just simply have God upon which to stand. What I mean by that is Joshua was out there, and I'm sure that if he tried to think of a Scripture about commanding the sun to stand still, he wouldn't come up with one. Lord, did you give any Scripture? Yes, the Scripture says, if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, it shall be removed. Or if you say to the sycamore tree, be thou removed, it shall be cast into the sea. But where does it say, sun, stand still? Doesn't say that. But nevertheless, he did know that God says, I'm going to give you a land that's flowing with milk and honey, and I'm going to drive the heathen out before you. Don't be afraid of the giants in the land. And Joshua will remember that. And he knew that the enemy was there. He knew that when the sun went down, many would escape. So he said, sun, stand still. And God hastened to perform it. Hallelujah. And they continued to pursue those enemies until they destroyed them. And the sun hung there high in the sky, and even science proves that there was a long day back there. They didn't know what to do with it until they read in the Word of God, and alone had the answer. History books could not tell them where that day came, that missing day was, but it was there in the Word of God. And Hezekiah also helped to complete it when the sundial went backward. So we have God's Word in which to trust today. We're going to face many problems in the future, because we know that Satan is on the rampage, but we do know that the Bible tells us clearly that the Lord is seated far above all principality and power and wickedness, and we together with Him have been seated with Him in heavenly places. And if we believe what God's Word declares, we also are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Do you believe that tonight? We are more than victors, and this is not just a beautiful platitude that we are giving you. This is not just to cheer for our team. We are declaring what God's Word says. And He has declared the end from the beginning. And He has told us what the end would be. And God has a victorious people. The church is not a defeated church, it's a victorious church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church is not on the defensive, it's on the offensive. And I thank God for the wonderful report I heard tonight from these young people of their outreach in Iowa and wherever they've been going, because God will always bless those that will open their mouth and confess Him. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Praise the Lord. I believe that tonight. There's another Scripture I would read to you in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 13. where Paul declares that we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. I believe, therefore have I spoken. We must believe God's word. We must trust it, and then we confess it. You see, you believe, and you confess what you believe. If you don't believe in anything, you confess that. But if you believe that God can do all things, and you believe that God is working in your life, and you believe that God is in the church today, you're going to confess a positive confession. I thank God we have something to confess. Praise the Lord, because we are living in a day that God's doing a great work, and I believe that this work is going to continue to grow and expand throughout the land. God wants to move in a people who are willing to humble themselves and to yield to His power and His anointing and His grace. And after all, it's God that has to do it, but we must believe it, and we must confess it, and God will perform it even as He has declared. We know that the Word of God is called seed in the Scripture. We know that it's important that we are careful with that seed. My son-in-law and I have just recently planted a garden. We were very careful in the way we planted it. We planted beautiful rows, and we tried to get the seed just the right depth in the ground, and then we tried to water it carefully, and we did everything as carefully as we could because that seed was precious, and we wanted it to grow. If we will take care of God's Word, when the seed was sown, it says they kept it. We will water it, pray over it, believe it, and speak it. God will bless it, and it will return, and it will increase many fold. I have heard it said that if one kernel of corn was taken and planted in a garden, one kernel, and if you would take all the kernels of that corn and replant it in the ground and continue to do that, that within a very short span of time, I think it was within maybe a few months' time or a few years' time, perhaps. I can't remember. But anyway, the whole continental United States could be planted from one kernel of corn. I was amazed when I read that. I was amazed at what could be done if we would believe God. Have you ever heard this? How to win 104,857,600,000 souls. How many of you like to do that? Let me repeat that. How would you like to win 104,857,600,000 souls? Let me read something to you here. Maybe you've heard about the farmer and the mathematician who worked out a deal. The farmer needed help with his crops, and the math whiz needed money. So with this common denominator, they began a discussion. Now, I really need some help, the farmer stated, but I can't afford to pay much. So if you're willing to work for just a little pay, we'll arrange it. The mathematician, who knew that the farmer was wealthy and tight, thought a moment. Then he said, well, I'll tell you what. Since you can't afford to pay much, and since I need the money so badly, I'll go to work for you on the following basis. You pay me 1 penny the first day, 2 pennies the next day, 4 the third day, and 8 the fourth day, and so on. I'll work for the 30 days under this system. Almost without hesitation, the farmer shouted, great! I'll pay you a penny the first day and double your wage every day after that for 30 days. It's a deal. Visions of hard work with little expenditure were dancing through the farmer's mind. So the first day came and went. The hired hand worked 10 long hours and received 1 penny. The next day he toiled the same length of time for 2 cents. Then on the third day he went at it again, this time for 4 cents. The farmer could scarcely believe his luck. He had never been able to hire anyone for such a ridiculous wage before, and the fellow was working so hard for just pennies a day. After 8 days, the worker was paid $1.28. On the 10th day, $5.12, still measly pay for such back-breaking work. But the mathematician knew something the farmer didn't. He was aware of the law of multiplication. On the 14th day, he received $81.12, and the farmer was beginning to regret his decision. The hired hand's pay on the 22nd day was $20,971.52. By the 27th day, the amount vaulted to $671,088.64. Do you believe the farmer was dipping into a savings account? Here's the almost unbelievable conclusion. After only 30 days of labor, the math whiz pocketed the gigantic sum of $5,368,709.12. How many of you heard that? Let me read it again. $5,368,709.12 in just one day. You don't believe it? I asked somebody in our church how many didn't believe it. Several raised their hands. Take a pencil and begin with the numeral 1. Multiply it by 2 and your answer is 2. Multiply the answer again by 2. The second result is 4. Multiply that by 2 and the answer is 8. Continue to multiply your answer by 2. Do it 30 times. Your final results will be exactly the same as the figure in the above paragraph. Now, this tells us something, doesn't it, about what we could do winning souls? Amen? The only problem is there weren't that many people in the world. And where I started out, you'd convert them all in a very short time if you would win them like that farmer hired that math whiz. Oh, that every one of us would see the potential and the opportunity that we have if we will just believe God's word and say boldly, "The Lord is my helper. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." We should be able to confess, "The Lord is my physician now. The Lord is my redeemer. The Lord is my baptizer. The Lord is my helper," to witness to those that I want to witness to. How many of you have loved ones and friends and neighbors and people that you know need God? Hallelujah. Oh, what a tremendous power is contained within this congregation here tonight. If one kernel of wheat contains the power that is contained, and if that kernel of wheat falling into the ground, the death of Jesus Christ, produced the church as it is today throughout the world, think what can happen when men and women will dedicate their lives upon the altar of sacrifice. And the Bible says we are to be a living sacrifice. After all, we are bought with a price. We're not our own. We're His, body, soul, and spirit. And we cannot claim any area of our lives as off limits from God. He claims it all through the virtue of His redemption. He redeemed us totally and completely, body, soul, and spirit. Know ye not that ye are a temple of the Holy Ghost? And once we can realize that and yield to Him, then God will continue to do a great and wonderful work in our lives wherever we are. Some sow, some reap, some water, but it's God that gives the increase. Hallelujah. And we all need to find our particular niche in the body of Christ and then labor diligently for Him. And God will bless us if we so do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And as we allow the cold north wind to blow upon us, as well as the south warm wind upon us, God will cause spices to flow out of His garden, and God will bless His people and bless the world that's looking for reality, joy, peace, and happiness that you and I possess tonight. We possess something so precious, so wonderful, so great. I'll tell you, how could anyone hide it under a bushel? How could we keep it to ourselves when God is so magnificent, so great that though we had a million tongues, we could never praise Him enough? And though we were to praise Him throughout all eternity, yet we've only started because He deserves all the praise of His people. He is so wonderful. Tonight I want to encourage you to bless the Lord and to trust His word and to declare boldly that through Christ Jesus you can do all things. If you are one that stands back and you say others can do a better job than I can do, others are more capable, they can sing and I can't sing, and they can talk and I can't talk, and they can preach and I can't preach, and they can do this and that. And if you sit back and you allow that to defeat you, you are making a tremendous mistake. We read in God's word that God is not unjust. When He gave 5 talents to one man and 10 talents to another and 1 to another, He did not expect them to produce more than they could produce. But He did expect the man with 1 talent to come and bring another one with it. And I say that the greater danger today is to the Christian who sits back and says, "I can't do it. Others are more talented and have more ability and are more trained than I am. They are the ones that need to take heed. Because God expects us to bring something to Him when we stand before Him. And if it's only one talent that we bring, we only bring one sheep, if that's all we could produce, He's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." But do something. Believe the word. Declare it. God can take a worm and thresh him out. Praise the Lord. Caleb was 80 years old. His hair was white. And yet he said, "Give me this mountain." "What mountain do you want, Caleb?" "I want that mountain up there in Hebron." "Wait a minute, Caleb. Hasn't anyone told you that there's the sons of Anak living up there?" "The sons of Anak? Who are they?" "They're giants. And we are as grasshoppers in their sight. Don't you remember?" He said, "I knew it. I know they're there. I was one of the spies who went up there and spied out the land, and I saw them. But I said, God's taller than they are." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So he said, "Give me this mountain." And Caleb went up there at 80 years of age, and he took that mountain for God. And the word Caleb means wholehearted. Praise the Lord. He believed God. He stood upon the word. He knew that we could do all things through Christ that strengthens me. He was not trusting in his own strength, but he knew there was a God of Israel that in whom he could trust, and that this God did not go on vacation. He did not sleep. He did not rest. He was always there for those who believed him. Praise the Lord, to do great and mighty things and to give great victories to those that believe. Hallelujah. The word has come to me, though I have not talked to my brother, that he's had one of the most difficult weeks of his life. Is that true? Some problems. I don't mean that he's defeated or anything. Don't misunderstand me. I mean there have been problems trying to increase your church. But you know something? No one can stop you from growing when God's in it. Hallelujah. No one can stop you from building if God wants you to build. I thank God we can rest in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe that God's going to continue this work that he has begun. Satan may appear at times, try to stop it. We know that in the rebuilding of the walls and gates of Jerusalem, there were periods when it seemed that if the work might stop. But nevertheless, Nehemiah continued to work and fight. They continued to carry their swords and they continued to lay up the block, and God continued to give the victory. Even though the enemy Sanballat and the rest of them tried to stop the work of God, Satan can't stop it because God has already stopped him 2,000 years ago. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I thank God that we are living in a day that God's people are rising to shine and to have the victory in his wonderful name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and praise the Lord, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Blessed.